I'm Ed Drew. I'm a children's worker, so I work exclusively with under-11s. Tim is maybe the managing editor of the Good Book Company. And this is what we're doing now, deeper application for under-11s. Why don't I pray as we sit? Father, our prayer is that children would know more of Jesus Christ and would love him more. It would be a mercy, Father, if you were to allow people like us to know how to handle the Bible for children. Please, Father, be kind to us because we find it difficult. And I pray, Father, we would leave here more confident that we can show children Jesus as he really is in the words of the Bible. Amen. Now, what we're going to start with is Tim and I are going to do four brief dramas. Now, I want you to imagine that we've just taught a lesson on Noah. A lesson on Noah to children. And Tim and I are going to show you four ways of finishing that lesson. Just that last paragraph. Now, we are going to caricature, and I just want to reassure you that the mistakes and the good points that Tim and I are about to illustrate, I have made them all. We're not getting at anyone, we're not getting at any group of people. What we want you to do for each of these is, Tim's going to start with the first one, is I just want you to think, what is there to affirm about what Tim has said and the way he has said it? And what is there that we don't like as much? What is there that he could do better on? Content as well as presentation. Okay? Tim, have a go first up.
So, children, we see in this story that God flooded the world because of man's sin. The way they had said no to God, he flooded everything. But how wonderful that God should look after Noah and his family. He saved them. God always looks after his people. Oh, we still got this rainbow sent from God to remind us of his promise never to send a flood again. How kind he is.
Be kind. What is there to affirm? Shout some stuff out. What is there to affirm about that? Smiley. He did smile at points. Yep. Anything else? It's true. Roughly what he said was good. Anything else? Yes? Say it a bit louder. He didn't look at the children at all. Anything else we could improve on? He didn't make eye contact with the children except when he wasn't saying anything at all. Anything else we could correct? Yes? What? One tone. Yeah, one tone. You did well to stay awake. Yes? No enthusiasm, none. And last one at the back. He didn't involve the children. Great, thank you. Okay, we're onto the right lines. Well done, we can do another one. Here's another one. God's nature is to judge. He hates sin. He can't abide it in you. You know, you're very fortunate that he hasn't drowned you today. He could. And one day, Jesus will return. He will judge you. So remember, come to Christ in fear. And Johnny, you may be only 3, but I want you to ponder these things deeply. Okay. What is there to affirm? What is there to affirm about that? Go on, that's something. Yes. Okay, I was taking the Bible seriously. There are some big negatives in the story of Noah. I addressed them. Great. Anything else that's positive? Shout loud. I was enthusiastic. I was enthusiastic and I was engaged with the children. Anything else? Yes, last one. It was applied to them. I was dealing with them. Great. What could be corrected? What could be improved? Smiling in the wrong places. My mood bore no relation to the words I was using. Anything else? Not age appropriate. Not age appropriate. If you had to guess what age I was talking to, you might have said 65. Okay, it wasn't age appropriate. Tim, why don't you come do the third one?
What a wonderful story! We've learned so much from Noah, haven't we? And the flood today, haven't we? I know you're going to leave here and remember! So, let's just go through the great lessons we've learnt once again. Now, Amanda. Yes, you, Amanda. You're going to remember to be kind to animals, aren't you? Because Noah was kind to animals. And you've got two hamsters, and it's not very nice if you put your brother's hamster in the dirty washing basket, is it? You've got to be kind to animals. And it doesn't seem fair. And Billy, you're going to be much more careful when you're near water, aren't you? Because we learned today that children can drown in water. So you've got to be careful near water, yes. And the animals went in two by two. So they obviously looked after each other. So that means that we need to share our toys, doesn't it? Share our toys. We've heard that before in this group, haven't we? Share our toys.
What's to be affirmed? What's to be affirmed? The hat. Thank you. Thank you. Excellent. Very good. Anything else? Yes? Well, well done. The application, you know, the application removed from the story were relevant to the children's lives. It was clear what sort of age group he was talking to. Okay, what could be improved? What could be improved? Content. Yes, content. Almost everything he said. Anything else? Okay, let's do the last one. Here we go. What a good story. You have listened so carefully. You understand what the story of Noah is all about. Now, I want you to go around the room, and there are toys scattered around the edges. I want you to find a toy which you think links with the story, and then I want you to decide what this story is teaching you. Ask yourself questions. Was God just having a grumpy day? Did he just wake up feeling a bit angry? Or maybe there's something to learn from Noah. Do you need to learn to build more things? I want you to find out what the story's teaching you, because if you've learned that, it can't be wrong. And that's what you can take away with you outside of this lesson. Well done. Okay, what's to be affirmed? Enthusiasm, it's all there. Great. Anything else? Affirmation. There's a warmth towards the children. It's looking to encourage. What is there to correct? What is there to correct? Yes? Yeah. The application has become the children's job rather than the teacher's job. Anything else? No. Okay. Okay, that was probably a little helpful. Now, let me tell you where we're going to go with this. First of all, I want to understand exactly what is application. It's a long word for something very simple, so I want to make sure we understand what application is. I want us to see some things that we could avoid doing, and I want us by the end, crucially, to understand how each one of us can do application better. That's what we want to leave here with, okay? So how can we do application? And it might be helpful, you know, just to scribble in that box as we go through, if that's helpful. So what is application? What should I be trying to avoid? And how can I try to improve the lesson? Okay. Now, let me go on then to the next one. Some basic assumptions I want to make that I am making during this seminar. The first is the whole Bible is applied. Andrew Satch has taken us through some of that already this morning. The whole Bible is applied. In fact, you know, you can't teach the Bible when it's not applied. The Bible is a relational document, not a textbook. It's not a thesis. It's not just God announcing research he's done. The Bible is a relational document. It's intended for people of every age, of every country. So whenever the Bible's taught, the Bible must be applied. Okay? So the Bible is always applied whenever it's opened. Let's keep it interactive. There are two rules of thumb that I go on. For under sevens, their brains aren't working if their eyes aren't busy. For over sevens, their brains aren't working if their mouths aren't working. Okay, so I just think as a basic principle, for under sevens, let's engage them particularly with visuals. For over sevens, let's engage them by them doing some talking. Okay, two principles I'm going to make. Next, every passage of the Bible has too much meaning. So Andrew showed us that with turning water into wine. There is too much to go through with an adult. There is too much to go through with a child. So our job as Bible teachers is to work out how much we keep in. If you aim too high, the children won't get anything out of it. They'll just be confused. So I think with children, you aim low. You aim for one idea and you hit it. And when you've hit it and they've got it and they've prayed it in and they're excited, you can stop. You can do something else. You don't have to keep going as long as the church service is running. Okay? Aim for one thing, hit it. And you get to decide that. Aim for the big idea. Children grow up in a context of rules. Children instinctively know how to be good and how to be bad. They know they'll get a reward if they're good. They'll know they'll get punished if they're bad, much more than you do as an adult. That means when you speak into their world, you have to be clear that that is their context. They are looking for you to hear, to say, this is what you need to do this week. As soon as they have heard that, the rest is an irrelevance to them. When they hear the adult, the role model, say, this is what to do with the Bible, they can forget why, they can forget how, they just know what they have to do to make adults happy with them. So don't give them the satisfaction. Deal with the heart. Talk about how you can get them excited. Talk to them about how God loves them. Talk to them about what God is saying to them. Talk to them about how they might feel differently this week, how they might talk differently because of what they have learnt this week. So avoid the question at the end of the lesson, what are we going to do differently this week? And as an example, what has excited you most about what you've heard today? What's the one thing you want to remember? What is the most exciting thing about Jesus? You know, what is it that Jesus loves us to do? You know, try to phrase it in terms of excitement, enthusiasm, and heart change. And that's difficult. It's really difficult. But heart change lasts a lifetime. Action change lasts their memory length, a week, a day, an hour. Okay? Get them to change their hearts. Now, there is a danger of coming to a training day. It could be by lunchtime today, after you've heard Andrew Satch show you the breadth of the Bible's meaning, and after you've heard me explain how to apply the Bible, that you have your resignation letter already written. You know, I had no idea how hard it was to teach the Bible, and so I'm not suitable and I'm not able to do it. I just want to say that the Bible's message about teaching the Bible is that you do your best effort. Your best effort last Sunday was enough. Your best effort this Sunday will be enough. Your best effort. When the Bible is opened and you teach it to your best effort, the Spirit is at work. The Spirit is at work. Your best effort, the Spirit's power, means God's purposes are done. In children growing to be more like Christ, or in children's hearts being hardened. That's the Spirit's work. When God's purposes are done, it's a successful lesson. So last Sunday, this Sunday, God is asking you to do your best effort. There'll be some things you've learnt here that you might try and put into practice. It's still your best effort. The Spirit will work just as powerfully, if not more powerfully. Okay? But the Spirit's power is not dependent on how good you feel your lesson is. Keep getting better, but the Spirit's power is the miracle. Okay. Now, let's move on. I want us to think about the stages of children's development. And I think this is crucial as we apply the Bible, as we saw in those four case studies at the beginning. Because we have to know something about children to be able to teach the Bible into their lives. Now, I think probably if all of you have probably met at least one child, so all of you instinctively will know some of the stuff I'm about to say. It's just you may not have put it in a box or worked out the different age groups. All children are different. They all develop at different speeds. There are some principles. You know most of them just if you've loved children, okay? So first of all, the under-fives work. The under-fives work is like laying foundations of a building. Laying the foundations of a building means you can't see change. You can't see anything visible as you lay foundations. It's all below the surface. This is a child's worldview being changed. This is the child putting down the foundations of their life. So, for example, they're answering questions like, what has God done? What did Jesus do? What were the things he actually did? What do I see and do? Because for an under five, they are the only one in their world. Everything literally revolves around them. So what do I see? What do I understand? And they also love role models, so be one. Okay, the children are putting in place their worldview. Who made me? How do I talk to God? How do I learn about God? It's the principal foundations. Next, the 5 to 8s. I think this is like building the house. It's building a framework. It's connecting up, getting the walls in place, getting the floors down, getting the ceilings down. It's rigid. It's robust. So they're answering questions like, what has Jesus done for me? They can start to relate truths to themselves. Why do we pray when we don't know God answers prayers? What is the point in praying if I'm not going to see the answer or I'm not even sure it's going to happen today? Tell me more. Explain it to me. Let me understand. Let me build a framework. This age are just thirsty. Their only limitation is the energy you can provide, the time you can provide them. So that is like building the house. Then 8s to 11s, the limit of what this session is really about, is moving into the house. So it's working it out. What is it going to look like? How does it feel? So can I tell others? Why am I the only one in my class who's doing this if it's all true? I want to be involved in the local church. I want to know how I fit into this group of people. I don't just want to be the kid in the back room. Let me work out how I can live this out. How is my life going to look different in school? And am I going to enjoy that? Because everyone else seems to be different. So this age group is starting to make it feel like their own. They're starting to understand and they start to see the difficulties and they certainly start to feel the pressure to be the same as everyone else. And then finally, 11 plus, I've called it something like decorating. And that is, it doesn't feel right the way it is at the moment. And I want it to be my own. So questions like, or statements like, I'm not sure this works in my life. So that's feelings can start to trump truth. I'm not good enough for Jesus. That is, grace is a hard concept to understand. Legalism is much easier, and I don't seem to meet his standards. If this is true, why does it hurt so much? If this is true, why am I being teased? And if God is so strong, why does he let that happen? And how do I make my own decisions? How can I make the decisions based on what the Bible's teaching? Where do they fit together? Okay? So all of that is to say that as adults, we can start to relate intellectually to our hearts, to what we do, and to experience. We can start to put it all together. Whereas children start with just their heads. They start just with, is it making sense? Can I understand it? What are you trying to tell me? Then as they grow up, it starts to move, to their hearts. How does it feel? But that comes a lot later. So it's okay just to be building, just to be saying, this is how it is. They're looking to you for authority and truth. Give it to them. Okay? Great. Let's skip on the next slide, and let's look at the process. Now, there's a process I've put down there. It's not magical, but I hope it will get us somewhere. Just turn over to the back page of your handout, and you'll see there the case study. I've just put down a very short parable, and the parable of the pearl, in Matthew 13, 45 and 46. And I've put down there the theme and the aim, what I think a lesson on this would be teaching. And that's just because, if application is the heart issues, dealing with what we're going to do about it, what we're going to feel about it, then I just want to, cut to that so that we're agreed what it means. If you want to do a different take on it, that's fine. This isn't definitive, what I'm saying. But it's so that we can start to move on to the last step, if you like. So let me just read what Jesus said here. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and brought it. I think the theme or the big idea or the summary of these two verses is knowing Jesus is more wonderful than anything else. And the aim, that is my prayer for the children. I put it in language I think they can understand to keep my thinking in that language. My prayer is that I'll thrill the children that Jesus is our treasure. He should be more precious to us than anything else can ever be. Okay? Or he can be more precious to us than anything else can ever be. Okay. Now that step one is the big idea. Whether you work it out for yourselves or whether you get it out from the book you're using, I hope it's a good book so that it's, as Andrew is explaining, it is a good big idea. You've got your big idea. With children, you're going to go straight for that like a train, in a straight line, heading straight for that. You don't go off on diversions because they won't be able to come back to the big idea. You go straight for it. The words you pick are only going to take them to that point. Okay? Now, you've got your big idea. The first step with that big idea is that as Bible teachers, we submit to that prayer. That prayer becomes the prayer for our lives. Any Bible teacher is first of all going to sit under the Word of God themselves. To teach it to children when it's not your prayer for yourself is hypocrisy. You're putting on a mask and you're pretending that this is the world we live in and this is what you want them to do. We submit first. And I think if we do this, then from the beginning the Bible becomes relational, it becomes applied. It is applied. It's just we have to find it first for ourselves. Okay, I want you either on your own or turn to a neighbour. I want you to come up with an application for your lives. That means I want you to take it from the general, let's love Jesus more, to a specific. In this particular situation, with this group of friends, in this context, I want to think more like this. I want to remember that. I want to pray this more often. When this happens to me, I want to do this more. From this parable, for you, can you come up with one application? Turn to your neighbour or do it on yourselves. Just 2 or 3 minutes. Can you take it to your heart, your head, your life? Off you go. Now, the grim reality is there's nothing I'm going to say that is going to be anywhere near as wonderful as what you've just been discussing about Jesus' words. I hope you've been excited by the parable of the pearl. I'm clearly not going to ask you what you've just been discussing. That's private. That's yours. I mean, Tim and I have been discussing it. I have to say my whole day feels better now. Now knowing that Christ is our pearl. So I hope we've done that. I hope we've also just seen it simple. You know, what we're dealing with application. You know, you're not going to walk out of here saying that, you know, oh, goodness, thank goodness for meeting Ed. You know, it's just the Bible. It's just the Spirit at work in your heart, thrilling you. You know, seeing Christ. You know, it's what you do in a quiet time when you just have a moment to engage. It's what you do when you talk to your best friend. Okay, step one. Step two, I think this is fun, this bit now. Step two, I think, is just being clear what children are like, particularly the children in your class. So now I just want to know, we're leaving the passage behind for a moment and we're just fixing our minds on children, the children, your children, okay? Now, the reason for this is that ministry, which is what we're about if we're teaching the Bible, is always delivering God's truth to those we love. That is all ministry is. So people might say to you, I think it's amazing, you know, you find an enthusiasm for teaching children. You know, and they might say it a bit belittlingly, but they might say it. And your answer is, you know, I don't have a heart for these children. They're mostly snotty and obnoxious. But because I keep teaching the Bible to them, I've grown to love them. I couldn't love these children more. It's because I keep giving them truth that my heart longs for them to know Christ. And so I love them. That's why I'm doing this ministry. It's not because I think children are inherently more lovely. It's because I've grown to love them. And that's what ministry is. So we've got to love the children. We've got to get to know the children. We've got to take time with them. Okay? So I think that means we start over time to be able to answer questions like, what do they enjoy? What do they hate? What do they fear? What do they long for? What are their insecurities? Now, if you've just started, if you've come here today as if you're like a training day to start a lifetime of ministry, then you may not know the answers to these questions yet. But what about a niece or a nephew? A godson, a goddaughter, a son or a daughter. Essentially, just pick anyone you've ever met who's under 11. And can you work out the answers to those questions? Okay? Now, if you can't do that, can I just say nothing replaces having a meal with a family, you know, with those children. To see a family operate, for better or for worse, is to get to know the children. To get to know, you know, mothers know their children so well. You know, those sideways comments to a child that speak volumes about what that child is really like. you know, the child when they're arguing about pudding, you know, now it all makes sense. So, you know, or just kicking a ball with a child, you know, taking time to get to know children as you would a friend. So, to your neighbour, pick one child, if you have time, two. You know, tell them the name, even if they're never going to meet the person, that child. What does that child love? What does that child hate? Do you know what that child might be afraid of? Do you know what makes that child giddy with excitement? Do you know what would be their answer to the question, what would you do this afternoon if you could do anything in the world? Just chat about a child, one each, see where you go. Okay, I hope you did that. You probably surprised yourselves with how much you did know. Maybe surprised yourself by one or two questions you didn't know. And you just think, I wonder how I'd ever find that out. I wonder what questions I'd ask just to know that. Okay, now the final step then is how does the passage apply to that child, to the children in your group? So as you're preparing your lesson, so you know the first part, applying it to your heart, as Andrew said actually, I think that stage is best done over a period. So if you can find out 2 weeks before you're teaching your lesson what the passage is, you know, stick it on a piece of paper in your back pocket and pull that out on the bus, pull that out at the bus stop. You know, you're not preparing it for 2 weeks. You're just turning it over. You're just doing your quiet times in it twice a week. You know, but then when you come to sit down with a piece of paper and a pen, that's when the children in your mind are in your head. You know, so in other words, your heart is impacted. You've got your pen in your hand. You're now going to impact the children's lives. So there are lots of questions you could ask. OK, but essentially, you're just going to ask lots of questions of yourself. You know, how does this passage affect the way they think? Given that I know what they're like, given I know how they think about some things, how would they think about this? How does this passage affect the way they might feel? If I know what makes them delighted, how could this passage delight them? If I know what they fear, then how does this passage reassure their fears? If I know what makes them sad, how would this passage be brought to their minds? To pray that into their sadness, to remind them of Jesus. Why would they rebel against this passage? Why would they fight it? What would they say to dismiss this truth? So you're just trying to connect children to the passage. Now it might be, just to help this process, you just pick out two or three representative children from your class, a boy and a girl. You know, a quiet, studious girl, a wildly rebellious boy. You know, whatever it is, you pick out a couple and you apply the Bible to them. And I guess if you can do that deliberately, you know, you actually write down a question on the page that is for him. You write down a question on the page that is for her. Then I guess it's not going to be far off the rest of them. But there might be one passage and you think, this is like a word for that child. And because the Spirit's amazing, it will also be a word for that child too. You know what I mean? It'll be a word for all of them. But, you know, you're just thinking about the individuals rather than the sort of faceless mass. Could be anyone's class. Okay? And then this business of grace, not law. Heart, not actions. So, if Jesus is the hero of this passage, if God is the hero of this passage, if Christ has acted, if Christ has loved before these children can do, then what are my questions? If Christ is going to be the magnificence of this lesson, if they are going to leave saying, wow, if Christ is this good, if they are going to leave this lesson, then what are my questions? Rather than if Christ is placing the burden, if Christ is the tyrant, if Christ is the lawgiver and I've just got to do what he says because someone tells me to, you know, if you can raise Christ, of course I want to do what he says. Imagine not wanting to do what he says. Of course I want this week to be changed. He's my king. If you can just lift that, if you can find the thrill, press the buttons, if you can thrill their hearts, and realistically, this takes prayer. Because, you know, there's no word you can say that just clicks a button. You know, this is the words on the page being delivered to the heart, changing lives. All eternity is different. Okay? Now, so we're just going to turn to one another. This is the final step. Turn to one another. For the children you have just mentioned, the child you have just mentioned, can you think of an area of application of this passage to that child? So a helpful question might be, this passage can change X's life by. This passage can change X's life because. Okay? Can you answer that question for that one child you talked about? Can you find that point? You know, you're not looking for 20 ways, just the one. Just the one that can be explored and delved and turned over and discussed. Okay, let's do that. Okay, team, our time is almost up. This might be a good one, just to shout some stuff. You know, I don't know whether you might just be shouting, you know, a point of application or a question you had or a game you might play. I mean, it would just be encouraging for the room to think, goodness me, you know, if you put your mind to this, sky's the limit. Just, they don't have to be great, just your ideas. Just shout some stuff out. Have a go. Put up a hand and have a go. Sorry? A treasure hunt. To get the idea of, you know, go nuts for treasure. Yeah. Perfect. Thank you. Next. Come on. You've just been talking for ages. Yes.
Perhaps telling a story and saying, imagine you were going on a holiday in Scotland.
Yeah.
And the holiday in Scotland, so excited. You wouldn't wait around all day.
That's it. Brilliant, brilliant. You didn't hear that. You know, imagine you're going on a holiday. You're about to go. You know, the car's packed. Would you risk, you know, not being in the car? Would you risk, you know, being left behind? You know, wouldn't you just sit in the car waiting for your dad to start it? You know, wouldn't you just be there? You know, that. So what we're doing there is we're engaging the child at something they can get enthusiastic about and just saying, Jesus is better. You know, that's what you're doing. When was the last time you were fit to burst with excitement? Okay, you're asking the children, you know, the cake was brought out, you know, your mum said, would you look at it, this pile of presents is for you. You know, when were you last about to explode? Jesus is better. You know, capture the heart, you know, move the heart. Okay, give them an insight into the truth and the wonder of Jesus. Next, other ideas, these are great. Other ideas. Come on, be brave, it'll help other people. Encouraging others, sacrifice self. Yep. Yes, nice. Yes. Yeah. 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 Okay, so it's a hero in their life, a sports person, a singer, someone important who comes to hunt for them, and they're the treasure. And you've kind of flipped it around just to get the idea of that precious value and how amazing it would be. And, you know, that is how valuable they are. That's why we love Jesus. You know, he hunted for us first. We can't but love him. We're so amazed. Wait, me? Yeah. Okay, others? One more? I hope you've all secretly got good ideas, or else you're just talking about lunch. Yes. Yeah. 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 As a boy is thrilled by his sticker collection, so he is thrilled by Jesus, and Jesus is more thrilled by him. You know, he is Jesus's sticker collection. You know, he is the gold, shiny, whatever. I'll stop now, but it's quite exciting. Okay. Now, we were just having a chat, just briefly, just the stuff we were talking about earlier about child development. I think for under sevens, you know, they're putting a framework in place. You might not see the action. I think for an under seven, you're looking just to tell them this is true. So the idea of a holiday you're about to go on, you know, Jesus is better than that. The idea of, I'm just going to state it. You may not understand it. You may not be able to relate to it, but Jesus is better than your best holiday. You know, they're putting in a framework. There is a framework in their head that just says, However happy I am, however joyful I am, however good this is, Jesus is better. It's a fact. Okay? That's a framework you're building for an under seven. You know, it's unlikely they're going to argue with you at that age. You know, he, she teaches me every Sunday. It's out the Bible. They're true. I quite like them. They disproportionately love me. I'm going to go with it. It's probably true. You know? Now, the over seven, you're starting to relate to them as, you know, really? You know, is Jesus, would you give up all of your Christmas presents for Jesus? Would anyone do that? Why would you do that? What is it about Jesus that makes him better than all of your Christmas presents when you haven't even opened them? Before you've opened them, I don't want a mum. You know, an under seven would cry at that point if you said that to them. An over seven is going, no, he's not that good. You know, you're playing devil's advocate. You're trying to persuade them. You're asking them to talk to you about it. Okay, I think that might be a subtle difference between the ages, how you might approach it. Okay, we're done. Questions, thoughts? Moments of insight, yes. Yeah. 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 Yeah, so how do we avoid the children thinking all physical stuff is bad, Jesus is good, you know, sort of anti-things? I have to say, I think children are so enthusiastic about stuff, genuinely. The next Nintendo Wii game, you know, at that moment they're about to buy it, they would genuinely die to have it. You know, they are, you know, the level of enthusiasm is so huge. You know, so I have to say, you know, use the natural childish enthusiasm and just get into it. So I don't know. I don't think it's obvious to me that a child could, you know, when Jesus talks about, you know, hating your mother and father, and then in the parallel passage, I think in Luke, it's, you know, unless you love me more. You know, I think we're not saying to children, hate your mother and father, because we understand what Jesus is saying is that is the level of difference between your mother and father and Jesus. So to say, look, children, I'm not asking you to downgrade your love for mum and dad. Your mum and dad are amazing. They are the best. Jesus, that's the love for Jesus. You know, so I don't think we're saying, you know, diss the lot. We're just saying, how good of God to give you your wonderful parents. Wow. There's Jesus. Yeah. He's mind-numbing. Brain exploding. Something at the back. Have you... Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I get it. So it's a very common question. You know, you have a room of 5 to 11-year-olds, maybe even younger than 5. Well, you know, where are you going to hit this? So I think what I would, you know, first of all, you get to know your children. So, you know, you get to know who is a difficult child, you know, how are we going to play this? But I think my principle might be, I head for about a 7-year-old. So I'm thinking a 5 and a 6-year-old, they're struggling to take stuff in, but as long as I keep showing them bright pictures that illustrate the story, they're going to go for it. You know, if I can find some pictures of this parable, a 5 and a 6-year-old, that's enough for them. Whereas I want to engage the brain a bit more, get them to understand, so try and hit a 7 or 8-year-old, okay? And then what the ideal, if you can, is can you have a co-leader so that you teach it to the room, trying to aim for a 7 and 8-year-old. And then when you're done, you know, your under sevens go with your co-leader with their craft activity, something to keep them busy. The co-leader, you might give your co-leader 2 questions on a bit of paper as you're colouring. You know, what did the man do? What do you think the man learned that day? Something like that. What, you know, how is, yeah, that's probably enough. But then you take the over sevens. You sit down in the other corner and you say to, you know, you have that conversation with them. In other words, look, I'm assuming you've listened to that, because you'd be idiots if you weren't. I'm now going to talk to you about it. You know, I'm going to ask every single one of you a question. You know, I've got a question that I want all of you to answer. In this situation, what do you think Jesus would love you to do? You know, that kind of thing. Maybe we could talk at the end. I mean, that something like that. I think for over eights, I think they need to have their voice heard to some degree for their brains to really process it. And under sevens, I think, you know, they can't take as much concentration. They can't listen for as long. So, maybe. Okay, I might finish there. Let me just pray as we finish. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Oh, Father, for the children in our care, for that one child we have been talking about, for that one child to be seized by Christ, for their heart to be moved, how different their adulthood would look, for a life wholly lived for Christ, because they prize him above everything else. Every other ambition is nothing compared to knowing Christ. To discuss with that child in heaven their love of Christ. For you to be thrilled together as you talk of Christ and how this parable has moved their heart. Father, we can but dream of what your word can do for the children in our care. The way your spirit could transform them. Father, if you would be merciful, would you use us? Would you make us faithful handlers of your word, applying it to hearts? Father, this is possible in your spirit's power. And imagine, Father, if we could be encouraged to see this happening year upon year upon year. We pray this, Father. Not because we want to be great, but because we want Christ to be all. Amen. Amen. I'm around. Talk to your neighbours. Thank you very much.